Hi, everybody. This is Jeremy. My wife, Candace, and I are the pastors at the Ridge Assembly at Park Hill. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope this message connects with you, that inspires you, reveals God's word of truth in your life. Be encouraged and enjoy the message. Today, we're going to start talking about King Saul, right? He's a character in the Bible that gets a lot of flack, and rightfully so. Right, he's a famous example of what we should not do when we're called to steward God's kingdom. He was called to steward the kingdom, and he fumbled a lot bit. Just like we're called to steward the kingdom of God. Saul was the first king of Israel. He was anointed by God. He was mighty in battle, and he lost it all. Partially because of his insecurities, and his insecurities led to some disobedience and jealousy and some stuff that we definitely don't want to repeat. So I think it's important to look at Saul's story because, you know what, to be honest, as much as I hate to admit it, sometimes I see myself in those pages, right? Because, you know what, we've been entrusted to steward the kingdom of God. And as much as I would like to look in the mirror all the time and see David, without the Bathsheba thing, right? But the man after God's own heart, right? I would love to see myself in the story of David. Sometimes I also identify with Saul's story, with the insecurities and the doubt and the jealousy and all the nasty outworkings of fleshly nature, right? Those are the things that stand in contrast to the calling that God has put inside of us, the potential that we have inside of us to advance and to steward his kingdom. So we'll look at King Saul. I won't really call it a series, more of a study. I have no idea how long it's going to take, but we'll just go with it, right? And I'm sure that the Holy Spirit is going to use Saul's story to encourage us to righteousness, faith, and stewardship of the greatness that he's got in us. I love being a Christian. I love all the benefits of being born again. That comes with incredible blessings, and it also, just like all blessings, comes with some responsibility. And God has called us and entrusted us to advance his kingdom and to steward the kingdom of God. When we talk about the church, when we talk about advancing the kingdom and winning souls, right? It's a responsibility. It's a big thing. And not just to reach prodigals, but then to disciple them, to show them what it's like, how to live in freedom. It's a big deal. And God has called us. He's appointed us. And he's anointed us for that. What we've got to make sure is that through all that, as we're living that out, that we don't find ourselves fumbling. And that's where I think we can take some great things away from the story of Saul. So, some background. A lot of you guys know Saul, but he was the first king of Israel. Now, to really go to the background of the Israel story, we got to go all the way back to the guy Israel and not necessarily the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel came from the guy Israel, right? And even Abraham before that, we can keep on going back. But Israel had, you know, the 12 sons, you know, Father Abraham had many sons. One of those was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Gets the Jacob, his name's changed to Israel. There's a nation born out of this one guy and 12 tribes. Now, it was God's plan for these 12 tribes to be more like a loose federation and not necessarily like a nation united under the king. Because, matter of fact, it was God's plan for God to be their king. That was the whole setup. God says, you are my people. It was God's idea, like the perfect plan of God was for Israel to be a theocracy where God is literally like talking to the people, leading the people through the prophets. And it was going to be this great setup. But as soon as Israel found themselves leaving Egypt and entering the promised land, they divided up by tribes and life was okay. But you know what? Even in the promised land, life wasn't always roses. And choices have consequences, and the way of a transgressor is hard. And a lot of the tribes through the course of time chose to rebel against God. And every time they would rebel against God, every time they would sin against God, there would be another nation or another group of people that would come and attack them. And there was this horrible pendulum that would happen all the way through the book of Judges, right? Where they would sin and they would fall into captivity, and then God would raise up a judge, which was like a military leader, and they would bring deliverance, and then the people would live in peace under the reign of the King of God, and then they would choose sin again, and they would go into captivity, and this happened back and forth for generation after generation. Eventually, the people of Israel say, you know what? I'm tired of all of this. I'm tired of all these judges. I'm tired of this swinging back and forth. We just want to be a nation like everybody else. It was God's plan for their identity to be in God alone. It was God's plan for their king to be God. But Israel rebelled against that, and they wanted a national identity, and they wanted a king. And so they asked God, God, give us a king. They demanded of the prophet Samuel, give us a king. And God loves us so very much that he allows us to choose even when that choice is wrong sometimes. And so God allowed a king, and that king was Saul. God anointed Saul to lead Israel. Now, that wasn't God's perfect will. Remember, God's perfect will was for God to be king and nobody else, right? No human. But his permissive will was to let Saul be the king. And so that's the backdrop. Let's get into the story here. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 2. Kish had a son named Saul, a handsome young man, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel. He was a head taller than anyone else. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul, take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalishia, and they didn't find them. They went into the district of Shalem, but the donkeys weren't there. He passed through the territory of Benjamin, but he didn't find them. When he reached the district of Zuph, Saul said to the servant who was with him, come, let's go back. My father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us. The servant replied, look, in this town, there's a man of God. He's highly respected, and everything he says comes true. So let's go there, and perhaps he will tell us what way to take. So Saul and his servant, they were out there. They were looking for these donkeys. They were missing, they were out there looking, couldn't find them. Finally, Saul's servant says, hey, you know what? There's a prophet in this town, and we just happen to be close to this guy. Why don't we go and see what he has to say? And so they both go, and they meet with the prophet, a guy named Samuel. Samuel is the prophet of Israel, right? Matter of fact, he's got two books in the Bible, right? He's the legit, like, he is the prophet. God is speaking through him. And so Saul and his servant go there. Samuel was waiting on Saul. You see, Saul just knew that the donkeys were missing, but Samuel knew that Saul's journey was going to be a divine appointment. So if we skip to chapter number 10, it says this, Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? I love that, guys. His inheritance. Has not God anointed you to be ruler over his inheritance? That's stewardship. That's exactly what that is. Right? And that's the source of all the parallels that we're going to draw through these stories, that God has anointed us and entrusted us to be over his inheritance, to steward his kingdom on the earth. That's where we're going with this. All right, let's skip to verse 10. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day And he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, and a procession of the prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined their prophesying. And all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets and asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" All right, so again, disclaimer, a lot of you guys know the story of Saul, and you know that it's not going to end well, and that he's eventually going to fumble, and like he chooses some bad stuff. But that's how it ends. That's not how it starts. The story of Saul starts out to be pretty amazing, because in this passage of Scripture, I see that he is chosen by God, that he is anointed, and that he is transformed. That's some big stuff. That he had everything he needed to steward the kingdom of God in righteousness. So, okay, maybe in a couple of weeks we'll get to the Debbie Downer parts where he sins and does all kinds of horrible stuff. Because, again, he fumbles, and he fumbles hard. But at the beginning, he had everything he needed. And so I don't want to get too far ahead in the story. I just want to look at the beginning this morning. And I want to tell you this morning that you and I, as we are called to steward God's kingdom on the earth, we are also anointed, appointed, transformed, so that what God has entrusted in us can be managed effectively and the kingdom can be built. Called, positioned, equipped, and transformed. Okay, a couple of things, and I do mean a couple of things. We only got 2 points this morning, so there you go. You get out early. Number one, from animal catcher to king. From animal catcher to king. If we want to look at the parallels between old Saul and us, this is a great place to start. This is the beginning of the story that we see of Saul, and this is the beginning of the story sometimes that we see with our own call and our own greatness, if you will, in the kingdom. As I was reading this story, I thought, you know what? I wonder what was going through Saul's head the morning that he gets up and his dad comes in there and says, "Hey, son, guess what? We have some donkeys missing, and I need you to go find them." I can imagine, like we just read through the story, but if I were Saul, I don't think in that moment that I would be feeling very kingly. That's not how kings start their day. "Hey, get up, I need you to go find these donkeys." I can imagine that Saul was incredibly frustrated. Even at the request, you know, we know from the conversation that he's going to have with Samuel later, and I skipped over it, but if you go back and you read all of chapter 9 and chapter 10, you see that when he goes to Samuel, Saul says, you know, Samuel says, "Hey, you're going to be anointed king." And Saul's like, "What are you talking about? I'm a Benjaminite. Like, I'm from the smallest clan. Like, I don't have any authority. And besides, I'm still living at home." You thought about that? You know, in 1 Samuel 13, we see that at this moment, Saul is like 30 years old. Right? At this point, he should be like, you know, middle management. He should be buying a minivan, playing golf. Like, he's, you know, 30. I can imagine that when he woke up that morning and his dad says, "Hey, I need you to go and go find these donkeys," I can imagine a lot of things going through his head, but none of those were kingly thoughts. He was probably thinking, "I sure thought life would be different by now. I sure thought that I wouldn't be still living in my parents' basement. I'm 30 years old. I would have thought that by now I would have had my own flocks and herds. I would have thought by now something would be different." But no, my dad is still telling me to go find donkeys. And that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. It wouldn't be fun anyway, but especially not back in the day, right? The donkeys, man, they were loose out in the wilderness, and nobody likes the wilderness, especially back then. Like, there's no four-wheelers, no side-by-sides, no Jeeps, no Broncos, nothing. They're walking. And nobody likes to walk that far to look for donkeys. Donkeys are way better at four-wheel drive than people. And so who knows where they are? This is going to be a long journey. It's not going to be comfortable. They didn't have nice shoes. Like, this is uncomfortable in every sense. And so when his dad says, "Saul, get up and go," I can imagine he didn't want to. But God, I really thought life would be a little bit different than this. I can imagine that's what was going through his head. He's looking for these donkeys. There's no guarantee of safety. What if somebody came and, you know, like a raiding party from another army came and stole the donkeys, and then here me and my servant are going to go out, and what if we end up falling into these robbers? This could go bad for me. Saul's got all these things going through his head. This is what I just imagine. He doesn't want to go through the wilderness. Saul's eyes saw an inconvenient random event that he did not want to participate in. And that's the takeaway. That's what was going on in Saul's timeline, right? In Samuel's timeline, Samuel's spirit man saw a divine path to destiny. You see, while Samuel was looking at, he could see that there would be, God told him, he says, "You know what, there's going to be a man, he's going to come here, and you're going to anoint him as king." Samuel was looking for the king. Saul was just going about his day, an inconvenient part of his day. Because you never know how the path you're on fits into the Lord's plan for the blessings that he's building in you. You never know. Notice, I said, you never know how. You never know if, right? Here's what I see in the Bible from Psalm 37, verse 23, from the Amplified. It says, "The steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his ways and blesses his path." You never know how the path you're on is going to intersect with something else that God has already established for greatness. You never know what divine appointments are out there, because I can see Saul not wanting to get out of bed, not wanting to go find the donkeys, not wanting to walk through the wilderness. I can see him frustrated that he's even in this situation. And I can see Samuel excited, knowing that the king of Israel, the one that will be anointed king, is on his way. It's just a different perspective. It's a different timeline. And you never know. The problem with us is that we only have one perspective. We only know what we're going through. We don't know how everything else is going to work out. We're limited in our vision. And a lot of times, the journeys that we're on, the wildernesses that we have to walk through, well, you know what? They're pretty annoying. A lot of times, the wildernesses that we have to walk through, it's pretty frustrating. You feel like you're not getting anywhere. You're not doing what you should be doing. Sometimes, the wildernesses you have to walk through are crushing, like Caleb preached last week. Sometimes, it's all in all not bad. The wilderness is never, ever fun, because you feel like you don't know where you're going. Or even what you're going to do if you got there. But maybe there's a purpose. Shifting perspective, right? See, before Saul left home, Samuel knew that he was coming to be anointed king. And while Saul was walking through the wilderness, Samuel was preparing to transfer the stewardship. While Saul was looking for the donkeys, Samuel was looking for Saul. Sometimes the unexpected pushes out of our routine makes us to intersect with a destiny that God has ordained for us this whole time. Sometimes it's the pushes that we got to get out of bed, that we got to go through the wilderness, that we've got to go and on this journey that maybe we don't even understand. Sometimes that is what makes us step into the destiny that God has called us, because from his perspective, he's moving all these pieces into place. tell you what, guys, my life is so blessed, so very blessed. But if I look over the greatest things that I've got in my life, I can see that God was really moving some stuff around in ways that I didn't see possible at the moment. Candace, for instance, okay? Candace, my wife is just, she's a 10. She's amazing. We joke that Assemblies of God ministers always marry up. Like, if you're a dude in the Assemblies of God, you're going to get a wife that is out of your league. So there you go. If you need to go into ministry, you can. But that's the thing. That's how it works. She moved schools her senior year. She's from Vicksburg, and she went to school there the whole time. She's on the soccer team. They won state. She's got a whole life down there. She's doing color guard, the flag twirlers. She's doing all that. She's a senior. Right. She's looking forward to graduating. She's got her whole life there. She's got everything planned in Mississippi. And then there's a series of events, and it wasn't all pleasant, I guess. And she showed up in my hometown our senior year. And I am 100% sure that was a wilderness experience for her. And that she didn't want to walk through all of that. And I can imagine that she was asking a lot of questions like, why do I have to walk through this? Why is this my life? Why is this stuff falling apart? But she was going through it. She signed up for school. She signed up for school, and you can ask her the story, but she didn't even know that they were like the move was permanent, and all of a sudden they're signing up for school. Meanwhile, in my timeline, so her timeline is just like her life is crazy. She's walking through the wilderness. In my timeline, I'm a senior, skipping along. It's football season. I've got my, football jacket on, and like life is good, and I'm just living life. And there's an intersection in my physics class where I'm like, oh, hello, new girl. And my life was changed, and her life was changed because God had ordained that moment. She had to walk through the wilderness to get to that spot, but then the rest of my life has been so blessed, and I think hers has been okay because of that one moment. When we were in college, and we took a, so we got married, and we became youth pastors right away, and I was convinced that the only thing you had to do to be a good youth pastor is love Jesus with all your heart and preach the truth, and it wasn't the best opportunity for us. It wasn't the greatest experience that we had in that church. And so after like a year and a half of really, really trying and working really hard, and it just didn't work out. And we left that ministry really broken. Really broken. And it was hard. And we didn't have any money anyway, but we had even less money when I didn't have a job. So there's all of this stuff that we were thinking. So it felt like a failure in the ministry, which is the one thing I didn't want to fail at the time. Well, I wouldn't say the one thing because I was married, but it was definitely on the high priority list of things that you can't fail at. And I felt like a failure. And then I was like, okay, well, now I don't even have a job. And so I can't even, like, oh. And that was a wilderness moment. But there was an intersection coming also because it, I want to say the next day, but I don't remember the exact time, but very, very soon. That's when I found out about the internship at the company I work at now. And I applied, and I spent the summer in facilities, and it was... And I thought, you know what? If we would have left the church job another week after or 2 weeks after, I would have missed out on that internship, and then I sure wouldn't have come to Central Arkansas because I didn't want to do aviation. I was wanting to do nuclear physics. But everybody that I know, all of you guys, we get to do ministry together. We get to build a kingdom together because of that internship that I wouldn't have taken if I didn't have a need at that moment. This isn't just time plus matter plus chance. That's not the way that this works in the kingdom of God. That's not how this happens at all, right? It's the master conductor orchestrating our lives for good. This is what he's doing. He's putting the pieces together to say, you know what? You may be walking through the wilderness, but I have already prepared the prophet. I've already prepared the anointing. I've got something for you to do. And if I have to take you through the wilderness, if you don't understand what's happening now, if I'm going to take you there to get you to where you want to go, I've got something for you. You just got to trust me. In Saul's timeline, he didn't understand why he's 30 and still didn't have his herds, why he's asked his dad, go find donkeys. I don't care. Maybe they'll come home. Maybe they won't. I'm not going to risk my life. Oh, yeah. He didn't understand, but there was a purpose behind it. He just didn't catch it. From animal culture to king, number two, anointing and transformation. Let's talk about this. God has a plan, and he's a great orchestra, and then he's also not going to leave you without the anointing that's required for transformation and stewardship in the kingdom. See, being at the right place at the right time is not what resulted in the transformation or promotion. It was the anointing. And this is where Christians are differentiated from the people who trust the universe, right, to take care of them. You've heard of the people, oh, the universe will take care of me. Well, you know what? The universe is impersonal and cold, okay? Literally, right? The cosmic background radiation is like 2.7 Kelvin or something. It's cold. It doesn't care about you. The universe has nothing to do for you. The universe doesn't know you. But there is a God in heaven that orders your path and will position you in a place where you can receive anointing and transformation and fulfill your purpose. And this was the time of anointing for Saul. Before there was any public coronation, before there was any celebration, before anything like that, Saul was anointed in the secret place to carry out the plans that God had for him. The prophet spoke the word of God over Saul, and then the prophet poured the oil, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and covered him, and he was transformed. Ladies and gentlemen, God will order the steps of a righteous person. God will ordain your steps to achieve his purpose. But position is not enough. We have to be prepared by the Spirit. Before we lead in public, we've got to find anointing in the secret place. We've got to be trained in the Word of God. We've got to stir up the gifts of God with the laying on of hands. We've got to experience our time with Jesus in communion with the Holy Spirit. I love that God has positioned us, but if we just stay in that position and don't take the anointing, then we're going to miss out. 100%. According to the Word of God, God will intersect your timeline, and you think you're in the wilderness, he will intersect that with something, with a blessing, and with a place that you're going to be called to. Now, to not fumble that opportunity in that moment, we've got to receive an anointing and a transformation. Look at 10, 9 and 10 again. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed his heart. It's not just about changing positions. It's not just about changing titles. It's not just about changing relationships. It's not just God's orchestrating your life together, and it's orchestrating it for good, but with every season that changes, there's a heart change. God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. When he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of the prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. Guys, transformation is a huge topic. We could talk about it all day. The truth is, our human nature is unfit to steward the kingdom. We're going to see later in Saul's life where his human nature wins out against the spirit man, and it is unfit to steward the kingdom. We don't want to go there. We want to stay in this moment where we're changed and transformed by the Spirit of God. Season to season, we must be changed. Saul's heart was changed, and his gifts were changed. He wasn't a prophet, yet he prophesied. Why? Because that moment required it. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, you know what? I know that some of us are still out in the wilderness looking for things, and others have already intersected parts of our destiny. And wherever you are in that, when you're no longer out there looking for the donkeys and instead you realize that this is the moment where God is calling you to greatness and you receive the anointing, and from those moments that's where the heart has to change so that we can properly steward the kingdom. Where we drop the desires of our previous season. We're no longer looking for the donkeys. Where we've got a whole new perspective. Where we can look back and say, God, that was a wild ride and I don't want to go live that again. But thank you because that got me out of my routine and brought me here. And now that I'm here, I can feel your call. We've got that new anointing. And since it's a new season, we also have new gifts to become part of our identity. I don't know what God has for you in your next season. I don't know. Maybe you need to prophesy. That'd be great. I see greatness in this room to build the kingdom of God. Maybe it's prophecy. Maybe it's generosity. Maybe it's leadership. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's gifts of healing. Maybe it's gifts of helps. I don't know. There's all kinds of things that God can do in you. But wherever He takes you, I promise He'll equip you. And it starts with the anointing flowing and the gifts growing. So, God gave Saul everything he needed to fulfill his calling, to steward God's kingdom. And in the end, Saul's going to make some serious mistakes. We're going to probably talk about those another time, but those were Saul's choices, and choices have consequences. But for today, at the beginning, at this, it's the call of Saul to be the king. For the beginning, just know that God is watching over you. And God is watching over His kingdom. And the Bible says that God watches over His word to perform it. And when I put all those things together, I can see that God is orchestrating your life and the paths you're on and even the detours that you have to take. God is orchestrating that to intersect with someone or something at some time. To advance His kingdom and to bring glory to His name. I can't tell you how instrumental you are in somebody else's life. How much you matter to the kingdom.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We invite you to be part of our online community by subscribing to this podcast. Also, follow us on social media at The Ridge Assembly PH on Facebook and Instagram. If you live in the Central Arkansas area, we certainly invite you to be part of our live community. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at the Old Park Hill Elementary Building. That's at 3801 JFK Boulevard in North Little Rock. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.